behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. The 10 at the 5. Touchdown.
The John on the air.
Touchdown, Buffalo!
Oh!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Pressured, and he is sacked. It is Marcel Darius, Mr. Big Stuff.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight, Murph is joined by Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas, Saints color announcer Hokie Guy John. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium.
Buffalo ball. Kiko Alonso picks up the tip pass for the interception.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yes, here we are. Yes, we're here. We're here for the full 2 hours tonight. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive. Happy to have you in the audience with us tonight. I think we're off to kind of a shaky start, I gotta say. It's going to be one of those nights. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those nights. We do have some good guests lined up, and I hope you can participate with that. You heard the lineup. I think you heard the lineup. We're going to talk with Hokie Guyjean a little bit later on this hour. Former New Orleans Saints running back. He's been the color analyst on the Saints radio broadcast for a long time. He'll give us an update on what's going on with the 5-1 New Orleans Saints. We hope to hear from one of the Saints themselves, Jabari Greer. We got messages out to him. We're told he will be checking in. We can't tell you when. You may remember Jabari Greer, an undrafted rookie free agent for the Bills back in 2004. Made the roster as a rookie, mostly because of his speed. After 5 years here, he left via free agency and went to the New Orleans Saints, and he has flourished there. Won a Super Bowl ring. He's had some big plays over the years that he's been there. 5 years in Buffalo, 4-plus years in New Orleans, and we hope to hear from Jabari Greer sometime tonight. We can't tell you when. We have an interview. We sat down in an interview with Doug Marrone the other day about his time in New Orleans. As you know, he played there in 1 year, 1989 season. He was on the Saints roster. Coached there for 3 years, offensive coordinator under Sean Payton. And he has some interesting thoughts about when he went to New Orleans to coach, 2006, part of the first coaching staff for Sean Payton, how the Saints really had to rebuild that franchise from the bottom up, as that city around them had to be built up from the bottom up, the results of Hurricane Katrina. I mean, he took the job in New Orleans just about 3 or 4 months after Hurricane Katrina ravaged that city, the entire area, the Gulf Coast area. And we'll talk with Doug Marrone. We sat down with him the other day and talked with him about what it was like back then, what he learned from Sean Payton. You'll hear that interview coming up tonight at some point. Thurman Thomas joins us tonight around 8 o'clock or so to talk about the Bills, where they're at as they head to the New Orleans Saints. So a lot coming up tonight. A lot of it focused on running backs, obviously. We want to get your thoughts on this as we kick the show off here tonight on this Thursday night, full two-hour show. Want to get your thoughts on C.J. Spiller. It has not been a great start to the season for CJ, and we all know why. He's been hobbled. There's no question he's been hobbled. When you watched the Bills game against Miami last week, you saw very clearly the extent to which CJ Spiller is sort of struggling through his ankle injury. Against the Dolphins, CJ wound up with 6 carries for just 11 yards, way off the pace that he should be setting at this stage of the season. Obviously, hobbled by the ankle injury, bit of a sprain he wouldn't specify today. Now, here are the Bills, 4 games away from the bye week. They've got 4 games to play before the bye week, including Sunday at New Orleans, followed by Kansas City, Pittsburgh, the Jets, and then the bye week on Sunday, November 24th. 4 more games before the bye week, with 5 games to come after the bye week. In a perfect world, they could wait until the bye and give CJ, obviously, the 2-week break there and see if his ankle recovers sufficiently. But can they wait that long? The question we want to hear from you about tonight, should the Bills shut down CJ Spiller this week? Should they let him rest this week, try to get back as much as he can? I mean, think about it. He had 6 carries. It was painful to watch him against the Dolphins last Sunday because after almost every one of his carries or even everything else he did in that game, he had to signal to the sideline to come off. He clearly was not 100%, not nearly 100%. Should they shut him down for a week, let him get healthy, and then get him back for the 3 games that would remain before the bye and hopefully 5 healthy games after that? I'm beginning to think they should. Doug Marrone would not commit one way or the other today. He did say that it is his call, and it should be his call, as the head coach of the team. CJ yesterday expressed, actually Tuesday on our show, when we did the show at the NOCO Express store out in Gettysville. On Tuesday night, CJ talked about how he's going to play. This is CJ Tuesday night. He said if he has to fly himself to New Orleans, he's going to play. But now you'll hear him in a moment or two. He sort of softened that stance a little bit, knowing that it is not his call, knowing that in some sense the coaching staff is here to protect C.J. Spiller from doing any further damage to his ankle, to protect him from injuring himself even worse. So the question we put on the table for you, the listeners tonight, should the Bills shut down C.J. Spiller this Sunday as they go up against the New Orleans Saints? Should they give it to Fred Jackson and Tashard Choice as they go up against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday? Can they get by with that running back tandem? They're a team that likes to run the ball. You know that. They run it more than anybody else in the National Football League. They love to run the football. Can they get by without C.J. Spiller this week? You don't want to forfeit any games. You don't want to say that one game is more important than another. But there is that opportunity here, you would think, for maybe giving C.J. this week off, giving him a long time between competitive carries anyway, working him slowly into practice next week, and then maybe having him healthy at home against Kansas City. Let us know what you think. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. There is a running back on the practice squad, rookie Ronnie Wingo from Arkansas, first-year guy who the Bills picked up about a week or two into the season. He would be a possibility maybe to be activated as insurance if they go that way with Choice and Fred Jackson this week. But what do you think? Should they shut down C.J. Spiller this Sunday against New Orleans? Would it be the best long-term decision to make? I think I'm leaning that way. I am. I mean, just to see him struggle through the game last Sunday, I think I'm leaning that way. Now, there's a chance you can get some big runs out of C.J. Spiller. We saw it in the Cleveland game, hobbled in the Cleveland game a couple of weeks ago tonight, and he still broke off that 50-yard-plus touchdown run. So he's capable of doing that, but we're really talking about saving him for the rest of the season. I think I'm leaning that way, but I want to hear what you think. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550, or you can reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. We've already had some tweets come in on this issue. Should C.J. Spiller take a break this week? A tweet from C4JC says, I think it's a good idea. We've been used to backs like Marshawn or even Travis Henry that seemed inhuman, plus Tashard Choice is warm. I think he's right. I think Tashard Choice is a more than capable third back. Who wants to know? Tweets in. I'd say sit him. He's hurt. He needs to rest to return to form. I know he may hate it, but I feel that he will definitely benefit. I think that's kind of summarizes the way I feel about it, as a matter of fact. On the other hand, D. McKay tweets in, got to play him. I'd take another 50-yard run from a guy on one leg any day. It's all about the fear that he may do it. Run, C.J., run. Very good point. The threat of C.J. Spiller may be enough to keep the Saints guessing a little bit. They know the Bills are going to run because that's what they do. And it is a different game, obviously, when C.J. Spiller is in there. So give us your thoughts on that. C.J. Spiller, what do you do with him this week? Do you run him? I mean, do you rest him or do you let him go? Do you let him play against New Orleans? 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call to get us started from Anthony in Niagara Falls. Hello, Anthony. You're on the air.
Oh, John, I think it's quite funny how everyone would laugh at Chan Gailey when he wouldn't play C.J. as the feature back because he may potentially get hurt and he couldn't withstand the rigors of a full NFL season. And kind of ironic, not that you want to see someone hurt, but it's kind of ironic how he's just not capable of doing that now and how a tenured coach in the NFL was calling that out just a season ago.
Anthony, here's the deal. And by the way, that is not irony. There's a website called www.isitironic.com I advise you to look at. However, that's not irony, but that's not the case. He wasn't hurt last year when Chan Gailey didn't use him as much as many people thought he should. He wasn't hurt. Now he's hurt. It's clear that he's hurt. There's a big difference there. No?
But he wasn't getting as many carries as we all thought he should have at the same time, right?
I never had a bigger problem with that as many others. I didn't have that problem that many others did. I acknowledge that many people thought that he wasn't getting more carries. And I do think in many fans' minds this year, Fred Jackson has again, like he needed to again, but he has again proven his worth as a more than capable, actually a pretty good running back. So I hope that may have changed some minds. But that wasn't an issue with me. No, the issue this year is that C.J. Spiller is hurt. He was not hurt last year when he wasn't playing as much as many people thought. Big difference, really big difference.
Right, but like you said, he's still a threat out there, and I think he needs to play.
Okay.
I think he needs to get out there because Fred's not going to be around forever. You know, if we get Fred next year, that'll probably be the last year, and then after that, CJ's going to have to step to the plate. So I think he's still a threat out there. I think he can work through the injury. I think he needs to play because also the coaching staff, by not playing him, are essentially conceding the fact that, hey, New England can beat us, is probably going to beat us, and we need to rest CJ for the following game.
Yeah, all right. I don't agree with that either, Anthony. I don't think you have to concede that if you rest CJ Spiller, and I've thought hard about that, but I don't think you concede that. I mean, let's face it. They beat the Dolphins last week with CJ not really providing a contribution. You know, 6 carries, 11 yards. They beat the Dolphins. Step up in class for New Orleans, no question. If Spiller were healthy, you would definitely want him. You would need him. You would say we're going to, you know, as Nate Hackett say, run him till he gets sick. But he's not healthy, and I think that makes a big difference. And again, Anthony, www.isitironic.com. I refer to it myself all the time. Yes, Ross?
I will say, in Anthony's defense, I thought what he was trying to say is it's ironic, his words, not mine, that last year Chen was saying we don't want to run him too much because he's going to get hurt. Now this year he's gotten more carries and he got hurt.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure if he's gotten more carries. I'd have to look into that.
I don't know if he has either.
Okay. But it isn't ironic.
I mean, obviously, he hasn't gotten them any more carries.
No.
It's an even split.
Kevin in Lewiston. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call. My opinion on CJ is see how he feels about game time. Dress him. Bring him. You need as many running backs in the backfield as you can get. I'd even bring the guy up from the practice squad for that game.
Yeah. Well, there's a chance they might do that with Ronnie Wingo. And they did do that against Cleveland a couple of Thursdays ago when Spiller got hurt before the Cleveland game. That day, and Doug Marrone talked about it today, they went to a public park in Cleveland. They couldn't get in the stadium that Thursday, Thursday night game. What was it, 3 weeks ago tonight, I believe, right? Yeah, October 3rd. So they took CJ to a public park in Cleveland that day and worked him out hard to see if he could go, and they decided he could go, believe it or not. And so it might go down to game time. It just might go down to game time this Sunday. John in Buffalo. Hi, John. You're on the air.
How you doing, John?
Okay.
I think basically we have to use CJ as like a Marshall Faulk. I mean, it's bad to say it like that. I mean, we know he's not Marshall, but I think if you put him in that type of role, you see the type of career Marshall Faulk had, that I think he can last. Also, as far as this game, of course, we need to start him. There's no question about it, because I think when we get to KC at home, that's when I think we have more of a chance to rest him if he does get banged up in this game. But in this game, we need all the weapons we can throw. You know, they have Sproles. That's supposed to be like C.J. Spiller, you know, Graham. I don't know if Colston is injured or not, but Colston and a couple other people. So it's just like, it's just, we need every weapon we can have for this game. I can see us in Kansas City, more conservative. Three wide out sets, you know, sometime I formation, and maybe go like that. What you think about it?
Well, I'm leaning towards sitting him. I hear what you're saying. I'm leaning towards sitting CJ this week and getting him healthy. And, you know, he obviously is an important part of their attack, but it's basically you're talking about a sacrifice of one game not having CJ, and I'm not talking about conceding that game at all, but sacrificing one game without CJ and getting, you know, 100 or 95% of CJ back for the rest of the season. What is it, 8 games after New Orleans, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. So, you know, you get 8 games of CJ full speed if you give him up one game. I mean, that's kind of the calculation they're going to have to make in the next couple of days here. We're going to hear from C.J. Spiller in a moment as we move into the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Dunn Tire and Kumho Tires, the official tire of the Bills, giving Dunn Tire customers an exclusive offer. You can get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap with the purchase of 4 Kumho brand tires. Visit DunnTire.com for details. Kumho Tires, let's go. C.J. Spiller says he is ready to go. He talked to the media, including our very own Chris Brown, in front of his locker after he sat out practice today.
Felt good. Got out there and ran around. Didn't do too much cutting, but, I mean, there's really nothing new. I mean, just trying to get it better each and every day. I mean, thought yesterday the rest was good for it, and, you know, was able to get a lot of treatment on it.
Same thing as today. Did a lot of stuff, did a lot of movement with it. Responded well. I thought during the individuals, I was able to do a lot of stuff without even a limp. That kind of surprised me. Good thing is everything's pointing up in the north direction.
Coach seems to understand that, you got to have a certain mindset to get yourself ready to play each week. But at the same time, he feels a responsibility to, in this case, protect CJ from CJ,
right,
so to speak. Do you kind of understand the responsibility he has, in his shoes, knowing the approach you still have to have?
Exactly. I mean, I have no problem with Coach Almiron. I think we have a great relationship. Concerning my injury, I think we're both on the same page. He wants what's best for me, and also what's best for this team. And he's going to make the right decision, and I'm going to back him. There's definitely no feud between miscommunication, misdialogue. I think we're both on the same page. We're going in the right direction.
Yeah. They said that they've been looking for improvement and getting better day to day. Is it doing that, you think?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, there's some things that I'm doing this week that I wasn't able to do last week. So, that's always an encouraging sign. So, I think, I think that's improvement. I'm not the trainer. I mean, I can only tell them how my body's responding. From the way that it's responding, I think it has improved. Since I injured.
I mean, it's got to be frustrating, though, only being able to go out there for one or two play bursts and then having to come back because you're hobbling on a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes time for me to just calm down. That happened, a couple games. I think Miami game was probably the only game that I really felt it the most since I probably heard. Even coming off that short week playing in Cleveland, I felt it some, but not as much as I did the Miami game. I just have to come out and let it calm down, and then once I do that, I'm good to go. I mean, and they understand that, and I think everybody, all the running backs, they understand the situation. And you ask Fred, he's always, when I'm out there, he's always looking, because he knows, if it get tangled up or if I come on the sideline hobble, he's ready to go in. So the good thing is everybody's on one accord. There's like nobody's over here, nobody's over there. So that's the encouraging part.
That is C.J. Spiller talking today. He says he felt good, although he did not practice today, didn't do much cutting. And he says, obviously, it is in the head coach's hands. The head coach, Doug Marrone, talked about C.J. Spiller and whether he'll use him. And he was asked the question, is Chris Brown, I think he asked the question, actually, the coach today, about trying to protect C.J. from C.J. so that Spiller doesn't try to do too much, even though he desperately wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. He wants to go, but we got to make good decisions. Really, at the end of the day, you guys see it. You guys are out there. You see it on the, during the game, and the guys are out of practice, see it at practice. We just got to make, a good decision, a tough decision.
Because he seems, his mind, and I guess you would expect this from a player, he's just absolute 100% positive no matter what. Nobody's going to tell him different because I think he believes.
Well, there's one person that can tell him different.
Well, no, but in his mind, he's going to think one way, it seems, no matter what.
Which again, I want to keep saying this because I think it's important. It's important to understand that, that's exactly what you want the players to be, in their mindset. And I have a great appreciation, not just only for CJ, but a lot of other players have come to me, and they are that way, and they're preparing that way for the week. No different than Manny. I'm ready to go. But at the end of the day, you have the doctors, and they make the first decision whether he can play or not. That's the doctors. Then once the doctors say, I think he can go out there, or he can play, then we got to look at how productive he's going to be for us. So, there's a lot of things that go into those decisions. I don't have them written right now as far as the process, but there's a lot of things.
You guys got to be the counterbalance for that. His mindset, you and the doctors.
Sure, you the doctors have their decision, yes or no. That's pretty cut and dry. Then once it's released to us, then we have to make the right decision for the team.
That is head coach Doug Marrone, and as he said a couple of times, that decision has not yet been made on C.J. Spiller. We'll get back to your phone calls on this issue in a moment. We'll get through the rest of the injuries list, though, for the Bills. Spiller did not practice today with his ankle. Neither did E.J. Manuel. Manny Lawson missed a second consecutive day of practice with his hamstring. Marrone said he suffered a setback yesterday, and now his status is going to be up in the air. The official injury report, questionable, probable, doubtful, comes out tomorrow. Fred Jackson limited practice today after he did not practice Wednesday with his knee. Kyle Williams back at full speed with his Achilles today. For the Saints, a couple of guys of note today. Tight end Jimmy Graham with his foot missed a second consecutive day of practice. That bears watching. He is their number one offensive threat. We'll ask Hokie Gaijon about that when he joins us at the bottom of this hour. Defensive end Cameron Jordan. Pretty good pass rusher. Young guy, a very strong pass rusher. Limited practice today. He did not practice on Wednesday. He's got an ankle injury. Who else? Malcolm Jenkins, safety, back at full speed. Lance Moore, wide receiver, full speed at practice for the New Orleans Saints today. The Saints coming off the bye week, they should be healthier than the Bills, you would think. Around the NFL, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady limited in practice. The team says he's got a right shoulder injury. He did not. He was not mentioned on their practice report yesterday. He did appear to be dealing with some issues on his right throwing hand during their loss to the Jets last Sunday, but he downplayed the issue. Brady, though, is on the injury list, limited in practice today. Peyton Manning back at practice, took his usual workload today. Manning did not practice on Wednesday because of a minor ankle injury. Brett Favre is not on anybody's injury list, and he says he is not returning to the NFL. How about that story? That little firestorm came out today. ESPN insider Adam Schefter reported the St. Louis Rams reached out to Brett Favre's agent. Favre says, it's flattering, but you know there's no way I'm going to do that. Brett Favre, by the way, is 44 years old. The Rams doing a little fishing with Sam Bradford out with season-ending knee injury after last Sunday. So Brett Favre says he is not interested, which I think is a victory in itself that he said that. There you go, the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown, brought to you by Dunn Tire and Kumho Tires. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Your thoughts, C.J. Spiller, do you sit him this week? Do you play him this week? Give us a call. We got a couple of minutes left here in this segment. Todd in Orchard Park. Hi, Todd, you're on the air.
How's it going, John?
Good.
I just listened to C.J. He says he wants to play. I mean, of course he wants to play, right? These guys, they could be 70% and say they're fine. The fact they want to play the game, right?
Yeah.
But the underlying, I think another underlying fact is to this point in the season, I think Fred Jackson's been our most effective running back. You know?
I don't disagree, yeah. And that's mostly because of the injury factor to CJ, clearly.
You can say that, right?
Oh, I'd say that.
I mean, another point is, you know, Thad Lewis is our starting quarterback. This is a practice squad guy that's now our starting quarterback. So no matter who's in the backfield, our opponents are going to be stacking the box. They're going to be playing the run every single down. So do you want to risk C.J. Spiller's, you know, further injuring his ankle for a 150-yard run when you're going to be playing the Saints and they're going to be stacking the box all day against us?
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, that's a consideration. They're all going to stack the box, Todd, because that's what the Bills do. They run the football, as we said, more than anybody else in the NFL. And you know, after seven games, that tape is out there. Everybody knows it. Willie in D.C. Hi, Willie. You're on the air with us.
I would say that I understand that CJ want to play the game, but, you know, because we're so close in the division, it's anybody's game right now. But that's why I think that he should go ahead and rest. Let Tashard Choice take some of that load so that Fred Jackson can get a little bit of rest as well while playing. I think that Tashard Choice is more than capable of taking on a lot of those chances to run the ball. And, I mean, if you want to take the practice squad guy and bring him in for a little bit of extra oomph, then that's good too. But I think that CJ should take some – Take this week off, maybe try it again come next week, and that way we can have him and Fred Jackson at their best coming close to the bye week and these last five games, and maybe we can make a playoff run.
All right, Willie, I kind of agree with you, and that's not to say that I think you write this game off, you consider this game a lost cause, you wouldn't win anyway. No, not at all. Not at all. I think you go out and win this game the best way you can, but I think you'd be smart about it, and you look at Spiller and the way he looked against Miami, the fact that he hasn't played now through a couple of days, and you think about Spiller also in terms of the rest of the season. After the Saints game, there are eight games remaining this year. Why not have a healthy or close to healthy C.J. Spiller for the final half of the season? All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get more on this issue after and during the rest of this hour. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the New Orleans Saints with former Saints running back Hokie Gaijon. He'll join us in just a minute to talk about the Saints and where they're at coming off their bye. It is the John Murphy Show here until 9 o'clock tonight. We're coming to you live from One Bills Dive, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Coming to you live from One Bills Drive, the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Bills 3-4, the New Orleans Saints 5-1 coming up Sunday. 1 o'clock kickoff, as you know. Joining us live on the line, former Saints running back, fullback, and now the color commentator on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Hokie guy, John. Hokie, thank you very much for being on the air with us. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, John. Appreciate it.
I got to check something out with you. I read this story today doing my preparation. You were 2 years old. You were spinning around listening to the song, the Hokey Pokey, and you bumped your head. That's why your name is Hokie?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I've ever been called, so... At least that's a rumor going around.
That's a good story. That's a really good story. I like that story. Hey, Hokie, tell us a little bit, if you would, about before we get to about this year's Saints. I want to take you back a little bit. You were there covering the team when now Bills head coach Doug Marrone was offensive coordinator under Sean Payton. Do you have any thoughts about Doug Marrone? Did you know back then that he was head coach material?
Well, I mean, Doug is always bright guy. I remember, you know, back when he was here with the Saints as a player. And, he was with the Saints as a player, wasn't he?
Yep, 1989, 1 year.
I kind of thought, you know, that people would ask more of that because, you know, like Sean Payton sometimes is a little bit limited on, you know, his coaching staff, you know, how much they get to talk to the media and right. All that kind of stuff. And, you know, I really thought that, you know, I'd get more questions. I'm not talking about him particularly you. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, everybody's, you know, like, because me as a color commentator, I don't really interview coaches and things like that. You know, it's just basically game day. But, you know, Doug was in the locker room when, you know, I was scouting for the Saints and everything else. And, of course, offensive lineman. And, you know, me being a fullback, all I was just an extra offensive lineman. I just lined up in the backfield.
Right.
And, I've always thought a lot of Doug, and, you know, generally when we would talk, it would be during training camp or something, he'd be coming off the field, you know, we might just have a moment to chit-chat or just, you know, small talk, things like that, because, like I said, they, you know, the coaches were a little bit limited
sure. In
their availability with Sean Payton, and I don't know whether, you know, he told them, look, I don't want you guys talking to the media or – you got your one day that you can talk to him, but it, you know, it's pretty limited. But like I said, me and Doug did just mainly from a friendship basis, as opposed to, you know, media guy covering the coach.
One of the things we talked to Coach Doug Marrone up here in Buffalo yesterday, Hokie, and he mentioned how he came in the first year with Sean Payton, and it was, he thought, very difficult circumstances for any football team. It was months after Katrina and all the damage that was caused by the hurricane, and he said it was very difficult to get started down there. That he thought it was a bonding experience for that coaching staff back then in 2006.
I'm quite sure it was. You know, there were still a lot of question marks about would the Superdome actually open. You know, I know that they had set a target date, that it was going to be the Atlanta game on Monday night, but, you know, there was still a question mark, is are they actually going to get this whole thing done? And you know, there was still a lot of area around New Orleans that, you know, people hadn't even moved back to. There wasn't electricity there. It was just all in shambles and one thing another. So it was a very trying time, I guess, for everybody. You know, I mean, the year before, Jim Hazlitt, what they had to do, relocating the team to San Antonio. So you really had about a two-season stretch right there where there were a lot of things were in limbo. And some people talked about the Saints possibly moving to San Antonio because they didn't know if the city would ever come back. And, I mean, I can certainly see it probably had to be a tough sell job for Sean Payton to get a coaching staff and then also get players to sign on. And you know, some like Drew Brees took it as they gave him a tour around town, what was left of the town. Like, was he going to see it and say, you know, do I really want to move here? Or was he going to look at it and say, hey, I'd like to be part of this rebuilding thing, which is what Sean Payton and his entire coaching staff kind of had to. I mean, I'm sure that those are things that Doug had to consider when, you know, do I want to move my family back down here to something like this when you don't know if there were different parts of town that were going to come back. But it's all come back strong now. But I think it's safe to say that the fans down here and really the entire Gulf South region really appreciate the fact that Sean Payton, his coaching staff, and the players that decided to come here with him had enough vision to look into the future and say, hey, New Orleans will bounce back, because really since they've been here, it's been the best, 8 years of a run in Saints history without question. So trust me, we're all grateful for the fact that Sean Payton, Doug Marrone, Bill Johnson, anybody that was on Sean Payton's staff when he came here, that they decided to move in and thought this whole thing would work.
Yeah, I wonder, too, if there's ever been a more fortuitous free agent signing acquisition than Drew Brees, who, as you said, embraced the issues there in New Orleans back in 2006, won a Super Bowl with that team, and he's still going strong. He still is an elite-level quarterback in this league. Wouldn't you say, Hokie, like maybe one of the top two or three?
Well, you know, maybe I'm a little bit biased because I get a chance to see him play every Sunday and, you know, see what he does in the community down here and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, and I'm quite sure that the Broncos would say the same thing, or the Patriots would say the same thing, or the Packers would say the same thing. But I trust me, everybody down here is they wouldn't give up Drew Brees for a Manning or a Brady or a Rodgers. They think that much of him. And, you know, but then again, I'm sure if we had one of those three, we'd say the same thing. But I guess it's good to see that much good quarterback play in the NFL right now, because, you know, we've had years when quarterback play wasn't so good. But, I mean, all of those guys are elite. They're at the top of their game. They're fun to watch on Sundays. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, I've heard a couple of different stories about what happened down there in Miami. You know, maybe the sales pitch that Nick Saban gave to Drew wasn't exactly what he wanted to hear. But all that's in the past right now. But trust me, the people down here in New Orleans and in the Gulf South are thrilled to death that Drew Brees is here. And I think he's got his mind set on more than just that one championship.
Hey, Hokie, if Jimmy Graham, who is not yet to practice this week, if he cannot play, how do they recover from that? How much would they miss Jimmy Graham?
They'll miss him a lot. That was pretty obvious in that New England game. But that was a terrific game plan that Bill Belichick had. They put Aqib Talib on him the entire game, and he was up to the challenge. And Jimmy Graham didn't have a reception in that ball game, and I don't really know that Buffalo has somebody that can match up with him. The thing about, you know, with that matchup is, you know, just the long arms that he has, and he was able to go one. You know, you just don't find that many 6'1", 6'2" corners in the NFL. And Aqib Talib has got that kind of body structure. And they targeted Jimmy Graham several times, but he was able just to knock the ball away. And Ben Watson is a pretty good second option if you're talking about the tight ends for the Saints. But he's certainly no Jimmy Graham. And, you know, Sean Payton can be a little bit coy about these kind of injuries. And even though he hadn't practiced all week, maybe it's just a chance for him to get rested up, because you're not going to get any injury information out of him. He's going to put his list into the league office of what he has to do, and whether that's probable, questionable, maybe, if he, you know, whatever the status is on that thing. But, yeah, Jimmy Graham is a huge part of this offense. You know, he's not just a comfort zone kind of guy for Drew Brees. You know, well, you know, he's a security blanket, tight end down the middle. Jimmy Graham can run all the routes that the receivers can run. He lines up in the slot. He lines up wide. He's a conventional tight end. He motions. He does all the things that those gifted tight ends do. And without him, the Saints offense is not nearly as good.
Okay, I got to ask you about one guy on defense who really has caught my eye as I look at video of the Saints this week. And I never really heard of Junior Gallette before, but I really like the way this guy plays, the outside linebacker.
Yeah, you know, he came in a couple years ago as an undrafted free agent, which is something that Sean Payton and his staff down here have done a terrific job with. You look at the number, especially running backs that they brought in, but it doesn't make any difference what position the guy is, that when training camp is over with and it's all said and done, Sean Payton says, I'm going to put the best 53 guys on the roster. And Junior Gallette was a kind of a tweener when he got here. And when he got here, they had a four-man front, so they used him as a defensive lineman, defensive end mainly, in pass rushing situations. And of course, it was the same thing last year with Spagnuolo. And then when Rob Ryan comes in this year, he says, "Well, I'm going to make him a stand-up linebacker," and which is kind of what everybody thought. If you just look at him on paper, because of his size and weight, he's not the 270, 275 pound guy that should be a defensive end. And he still is a little bit of a tweener, but one thing that he does have is pass rushing skills, whether he's in a 3-point stance or whether he's in a 2-point stance. And if the Saints hadn't had the rash of injuries that they had, he would be one of the stand-up outside linebackers. Now he's standing up some, he's putting his hand down, and I think they're just using him in that role because of his versatility. And he's filling it quite well. But that's really all he was his first couple of years, was just a third down guy that they would rush. Now he's a lot more into the entire defensive package. And he's been a pleasant surprise because he's adjusted to being able to drop into coverage a little bit, which they don't do that much with him. But it's enough to where whenever the quarterback walks to the line of scrimmage, you're not saying every snap Junior Gallette's coming. So it's I guess a little ace in the hole for Rob Ryan, and that he can use him in different formations, different sets, and different ways in coverage and as a rusher.
Okay, we really enjoyed talking with you tonight. We'll stop by and say hello on Sunday. Thanks very much for coming on with us.
Okay, sounds good. I hope y'all enjoy your time in New Orleans, John.
Thanks. We will. Thank you. Hokie Guyjean, who played fullback for 5 years for the New Orleans Saints and has been the color commentator for the last several years on the Saints Radio Network. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live tonight at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And again, our thanks to Hokie Guyjean, the former Saints running back and now the color commentator on the Saints Radio Network. Right. Hokie joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway with a special offer for Bills fans. When the Bills get 20 points or more at home this season, go to buffalobills.com for details. Subway, eat fresh. Hokie was a pretty good running back, fullback. He played for Bum Phillips in New Orleans, and I was going to ask him that. We kind of ran out of time, but he was one of Bum's guys, the late Bum Phillips in New Orleans. Interesting take. And I really like the linebacker he talked about. Watched a couple of Saints games. I'll watch a few more between now and Sunday. And Junior Gallette, an undrafted free agent from a couple of years ago, started out as kind of a special teamer for the most part for the Saints, but I think he's made himself into a pretty good player. I got to say, Junior Gallette, have you heard of him? Maybe you have. I mean, I guess I've heard the name, but he was just on my radar screen watching the Saints play the last couple of weeks. I think he's a product, too, of Rob Ryan's defensive system, which, by the way, is an awful lot like what the Bills' defense looks like, I think. I mean, very, very similar principles between what Rob Ryan is doing and what Mike Pettine's doing up here. But Junior Gallette, 4-year player out of Stillman, as I said, mostly a special teamer for the early part of his career, but he's doing a good job running around that defense now, number 93. They have Cameron Jordan, who's on their injury list. He's a really solid pass rusher. They have pretty decent defense, the Saints do, and a pretty good defensive scheme. And, oh, by the way, that very highly productive offense led by the great Drew Brees. We were talking earlier tonight. We can resume the discussion. We're going to resume it with Thurman Thomas after the top of the hour. What do you do with C.J. Spiller? Do you sit him this week against New Orleans? Do you play him? He's clearly hurting with that ankle injury. Doug Marrone, leaving the options open, is not quite ready to say just yet what his plans are. But what would you do? Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. If we don't get your phone call on this hour, we'll do it with Thurman Thomas in the next hour. And we do have a couple of tweets on this issue. Nick Barai tweets in, Spiller had a monster game against Kansas City last year. I would rest him and get him ready for next week. That, I guess, could be a consideration. Sean Perooker tweets in, I think he should rest, but they should have done it weeks ago. Sean Franklin tweets in, I think just having the game plan for CJ is an advantage. And Michael Klafka tweets in, non-conference game, the best chance to rest him if you believe playoffs. CJ and AFC games matter. That's a consideration. This is a non-conference game against the Saints this Sunday, so that's something to think about. But it is an interesting question. I mean, do you sacrifice one game? And I'm not saying do you write this game off. Believe me, they got a chance with or without CJ. They got a chance. Certainly, they're not the anywhere near the favorites in this game, but they have a chance against New Orleans. But do you sacrifice one game with CJ for the benefit of maybe eight games with healthy CJ the rest of the way? I think it's an interesting question. I don't believe, based on what Doug Marrone has said today, I don't believe that they've made up their mind. And I think C.J. Spiller is slowly coming around to the realization that, A, it's really not in his hands, and, B, it might be for the best if he takes a seat this week. We'll get to your phone calls after the top of the hour. We're going to ask Thurman Thomas about this as well. One more hour to go. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are live tonight at One Bills Drive until 9 p.m. on Buffalo Bills Radio.
He's coming to the house. He's doing it again. My man. Touchdown, Buffalo.
I like that kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Just being able to go out there and move, you know what I'm saying, get the herky-jerky back.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
Thurman at the 10, breaks a tackle to the 5. He's in for the touchdown.
The John Murphy Show. Presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour 2 of the John Murphy Show here until 9 p.m. tonight. A full 2-hour show tomorrow night, podcast because of hockey. Man. Thurman Thomas joins us live on the line right now, his regular weekly visit. If you have any comments or questions for Thurman, give us a call. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us on Twitter. But Thurman joins us for the next few minutes here. Good evening, Thurman. How are you tonight?
Doing great, John. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. I had to stop for a second when I thought about hockey. You didn't happen to watch that game last night, did you, Thurm?
Oh, to be honest with you, John, I haven't watched a game all year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's bad. I just watched a little highlights. Obviously, it's not good. So,
no.
Don't even want to talk about it right now.
I don't
now.
Want to talk about it either. Thurman Thomas with us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway is a special offer for Bills fans when the Bills score 20 points or more. Go to BuffaloBills.com for details. Subway, eat fresh. I saw you on the sidelines watching practice today, Thurman. Is you miss practice that much? You come out and watch practice still?
Well, no. You know, John, I just went out, really to, see practice and to see, how the guys were feeling, were they confident about, playing the Saints and just talking to Coach Marrone and, Donnie Henderson and, just a couple of the coaches, just trying to get a feel of, what is this team about? And I tell you, I left there from practice today and felt like, this team here is gaining more and more confidence with themselves because they keep giving themselves an opportunity to win ball games. And it's not just one player. It's a lot of players. You can tell the confidence is definitely building this football team.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. And I've always, Thurman, I've been around a little while, and I'm always reluctant to read too much into the way teams practice. But I did notice today in the limited time that I was watching practice, those guys were loose. Those guys were upbeat today. They are full of confidence. I don't know if it was a win over Miami or just the general direction. Maybe it's because they're a lot healthier than they've been in a month or so. But I did sense kind of an upbeat attitude at practice today. Did you?
Yeah, I sensed an upbeat attitude at practice. There was a little time there. I think a lot of the media guys had left. And, Donnie Henderson was really got on the defensive backs for, not really, I think after you guys left, for messing up a couple of plays, and they got it corrected. So, I know the guys, they should be feeling good about themselves, about beating Miami on the road and coming back here and having an opportunity to go on the road again and beat the Saints. I see the coaches are not letting up on these guys. I thought today's practice was an excellent practice, offense, defense, and special teams.
Thurman Thomas, our guest. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. If you have comments or questions for Thurman, the lines are open, 803-0550. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Well, the big issue, at least one of the big issues, Thurman, is C.J. Spiller, who has not practiced yet this week. And there's been, we talked about it on the first hour of the show, CJ with his injury, his ankle injury, which doesn't appear to be getting better very quickly anyway. Is there any benefit to letting CJ take, for instance, this Sunday off, giving him a week off, and then hoping that after 2 weeks between games he comes back and is able to finish the season strong?
Well, obviously CJ wants to go out there and play. He wants to be a part of this team. And, my opinion, and I text – CJ about this earlier in the week and said, you know what, hey, if it's not getting better, or even if it feels like it's getting better and you're not able to cut and do the things that you used to do, you know, last year and beginning of this year, maybe you should rest it. I think the coaches have, you know, obviously a big deal, a big confidence in Fred that he can go out and do it. And I think Tashard can do the same thing. And even Frank got a couple of carries in the game against Miami. So, you know, at this point in time, I think team is building confidence. You know, if we can have him down the stretch being very healthy, I think that'll help us out more than anything. So, in my opinion, you know, I would give it a rest, you know, for the rest of the week and see how it goes next week, because next week is a big important game also.
We had C.J. Spiller on the show Tuesday night, Thurman, and he was talking about how he plans on playing. He would fly himself to New Orleans to play if he has to. Sometimes coaches have to step in and you know, take it out of their hands, right? They have to think of the bigger picture sometimes.
And I think Coach Marone and all the coaches and Bud Carpenter and those guys are thinking of the bigger picture. You know, he hasn't really touched the ball and been explosive in the last couple of weeks. And to give him a week off or a week and a half, I think it would be something where the coaches do have to step in and say, hey, because like you say, all the guys are building confidence. They think they can go out and beat anybody now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was just one road game against Miami, but they're still in the thick of things. And, you know, they've played well in every single ball game. The confidence is there. Their defense is playing exceptionally well. They're getting all their players back from being injured. I mean, this is a team that, you know, if healthy for the rest of the year, it could be something to a team to watch. And like I say, they're getting a lot of confidence. They're getting healthy, and they believe it. They believe in themselves.
Thurman, since you've been on our show the last year or so, you and I have talked a lot about Spiller and about Fred Jackson, but I don't think I ever got your thoughts on Tashard Choice. How good a back do you think Tashard Choice is? And what are the qualities and attributes that he has that can help this Bills football team if he has to play?
I think he's, you know, obviously he hasn't been getting the fanfare that Freddie and CJ has gotten, but I think he's a dependable back. You know, he was with the Cowboys for a number of years and got to have some playing time down there. I think he's very dependable. He's a tough guy to bring down on short yards, and he's a guy who can pick up blitzes. And I think that's one of the things that you're going to see this week is that, you know, New Orleans is not going to sit back. They're going to blitz. They're going to blitz a lot. And to have a guy like that, I think he's very important to the football team. He actually, him and Fred Jackson, keeps the team loose. I think those two guys get on the football team, two veteran guys, keeps the football team loose. And to me, he's been an important addition to the football team ever since he signed it.
Thurman, we have not talked to you since Thad Lewis played quarterback the last two games. I actually forgot his name there for a second. That's not a good sign. But it is Thad Lewis, and we haven't talked to you since his two starts. What do you think of what you've seen from Thad Lewis?
Well, you know, obviously, I think the Bills, you know, I think if he keeps this up, you know, the Bills have, you know, I think they found their backup quarterback, if you want to say. I know if he keeps it up for a number of weeks, people are going to say, well, he should be the starter. But, you know, they invested a lot in EJ, and for me, EJ is still the starter. I think now what you're seeing in Thad is that, hey, he is a guy that could be a capable backup in this league for a long time. And given a few more starts, you know, there might be some teams that might be looking for somebody to be a backup or even to be a starter if he continues to play well and win games and don't make a lot of mistakes that backup quarterbacks make. If he can come in and continue to do his job and keep the offense rolling, I like his ability. I saw him today, very confident guy, talking to Coach Hackett a lot. And no, I think he's been a big surprise. You know, thank God that they made, you know, that trade with Detroit to get him here. Obviously, you know, they saw something in him, and he's proven it on the field. He's earning week in and week out, and I like him. I really like the way he plays the game of football.
On the line with Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. Phone lines open, 803-0550, or toll-free outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Hey, Thurman, what do you do? I was thinking about the Saints game. In this respect, because, you know, I watched a couple of Saints games already this week. They put up a lot of points. They can move the ball offensively. And I remember when your team, your Bills team, would go up against Dan Marino and the Dolphins, part of the strategy, if not a big part of the strategy, was to, you know, control the clock, to keep that offense off the field. Do the Bills, who, you know, run a fast-paced offense themselves, do they worry about that against New Orleans? Do they try to keep that offense off the field?
Well, you know, obviously teams are a lot different. You know what, you can, you know, they are at home and they are very explosive at home. So, yeah, I think you tend to, you know, do things a little bit differently because you don't want to give them a lot of opportunities. I tell you what would help is what Jimmy Graham not playing.
Yep.
I know that would definitely help. So, but you know what, John, you know, hey, the Bills are confident, and they believe in themselves, and, yes, it would be a great opportunity to run because New Orleans doesn't have a very good run defense. So yep. There would be an opportunity for all three of those guys that I mentioned earlier to get some carries. And if you can keep Drew on the sideline as long as possible, it's one of those games where you would love to have the ball in at least 36 to 38 minutes, somewhere around there where you're controlling the clock. And if you do that, you give yourself an opportunity, a chance to win the ball game.
Was that a big part of how you guys used to beat the Dolphins?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. You know, obviously we slowed the ball down because we didn't want to give Marino an opportunity at any time in point of the game to get back on the field and try to hurt our defense. So, yeah, there were times where we were like, you know what, we don't need to go fast-paced. We can slow it down. We feel like we can run on Miami in a single play. And so the more that we run and take time off the clock, you know, it helps our football team. It helps our defense, and it helps, you know, to keep Marino on the sideline as long as possible.
Thurman, we didn't get your thoughts on the Bills' win over Miami last week. What did you think about that victory?
It was awesome. It was totally awesome, man. Having Mario come in, you know, I was kidding Kyle today about, you know, not picking up the ball and running in for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Any point in there said, you know, the ball took a bad bounce, man, and it did. So it was a big win for him. I heard on the plane back, on the ride back, that it was a little bit upbeat. And those guys, you know what, those guys have worked really, really hard throughout the entire year, and to get a road victory like that, because Miami, they had been struggling, but they started off, what, 2-1, 2-0, or something like that?
Yeah, 3-0, yep.
Being back home. So, I thought it was a great win for them on the road, you know, and to do it again against New Orleans. I told Coach Marone that, hey, it'll be 10 times a better feeling if you can go on the road and win this in New Orleans.
It's a 10 times tougher place to play. There was hardly anybody in the stands. I don't know what's going on with the Dolphins, Thurman, but those fans, they don't show up and they don't pay attention or make noise. I don't know what the problem is down there.
Well, I got a little insight to what's the problem, and the problem is the owner.
Okay.
I can tell you that right now.
Tell me why.
Oh, he's just, you know, he wants the city to pay for the renovations that they're supposed to have down there, and you know, so it's just a big mess down there. So I'll let them deal with that.
Not a good atmosphere down there in Miami.
Not a good atmosphere. I mean, it used to be a football town. It's turned into a basketball town now.
Yeah. I did, when we were on the field before kickoff, I took a couple of young guys over to the spot on the field there at Sun Life Stadium, and I said, this right here, this is where Thurman Thomas used to come out of the tunnel right an hour before kickoff and stand here and yell stuff at the fans in the end zone here. You were famous for that.
Yeah, down in Miami and in New England, yeah. So, did any of the guys do it?
No, the Bills, no, they're much more reserved. No.
Oh,
there wasn't anybody to taunt. There was nobody in the stands there Sunday. It was bad.
Well, you know what, John? It's a big game coming for them up against New Orleans. And, boy, I tell you what, they get this victory against the Saints this weekend come Sunday. Boy, the following week against Kansas City, oh, my God.
That'd be huge.
It's gonna be huge,
yep.
Huge. But they gotta get through this this game against the Saints, and you know, relatively come out healthy. You know, I truly think if they can control Drew and knock him around a little bit, that they'll have a great chance to win the ball game.
Thurman, I'd like to reminisce a little bit with you. I was looking at the Bills Saints series. They haven't played a lot of games down there, but there's a game in 1992 when you guys went down to New Orleans and beat the Saints, and it was a good, solid win for the Bills. But here's my memory of that game. You may or may not remember this. I'm standing in the post-game press conference area, small room at the Superdome. Jim Kelly's at the podium. I turn to my left, and it's Eddie Van Halen and his wife, Valerie Bertinelli, at the Jim Kelly post-game press conference. And I did a double take. I'm like, what the? Where am I? I thought I was in a dream or something. You remember that, when Kelly would hang around with them?
Oh, yeah. I remember that a lot. Yeah. I can't remember him being there, but and her being there. But, boy, that's Jim Kelly back in the early 90s, superstar.
He was a superstar.
He was a superstar.
You're taking his place. You played some celebrity golf over the last week or so in Bermuda. Is that where you were?
Yeah, I had a trip to go down to Bermuda. It was planned a couple of years ago and had the opportunity to sit down and talk some college football with Jason Duffner. He's a big Auburn fan, and I got a chance to sit down and talk to him and his wife Amanda, and very nice guy, really down to earth. He was a great guy, and glad I got an opportunity to meet him.
Yeah, the winner of the PGA Championship. Did you see that's the hot Halloween costume this year, the Jason Duffner look?
Seriously. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, people are going dressed up, and they're going to slouch it against the wall like Jason Duffner. All right, Thurman, so you're expecting good things from this Bills team on Sunday at New Orleans, huh?
I'm expecting good things for them. Hopefully they can get off to a fast start like they did against the Miami Dolphins last week. I know that New Orleans are probably going to come out and try to run the football with Pierre Thomas. Maybe Mark Ingram might play. I'm not quite sure if he's going to play or not. But I think it's an opportunity, you know, to make a statement. And the Bills have been – they've only won 3 games this year, but they've been involved in every single ball game. And if they can keep this game close, it gives them a little bit more confidence, you know, maybe going into the third, going into the fourth quarter, and having the opportunity to win.
Thurman, thanks. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Have a great one.
You too. Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Fame running back. Always a pleasure when he joins us to take a stroll down memory lane and talk about this year's Bills. And imagine if you're a young Buffalo Bills player, and there's a lot of them. I mean, third youngest roster in the league. And you're at practice today on Thursday. You know, you've been to your meetings. You go out there in the practice field. You look over on the sidelines, and there's a Hall of Fame running back standing there watching practice. That would get your attention, I would think. Right, Russ? That would get your attention. If you're any kind of a football fan, no matter if you're a running back or not, if you look over to the sideline and there's a Hall of Famer standing there watching practice, that would get your attention.
I got to be honest. It got my attention. Yeah. It's just one of those things. You know, I mean, we're here every day. We're kind of used to those guys being around, but you know, anytime you see Thurman or Jim, those guys hanging around, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Thurman Thomas is right there.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
And for those young players, I mean, and, you know, Thurman's on the wall in the stadium, his picture's on the wall inside the field house. I mean, that's a famous name in NFL history.
For C.J. Spiller to get text advice from a Hall of Fame running back, I mean, that's, I hate to use your words again, but that's got to get your attention. I mean, that's, if you can't take his advice, I mean, you know, what are you doing? That's certainly got to ring something in you.
Yep. And if you heard Thurman's advice that he shared with us on the radio a moment ago, I think he thinks that CJ should shut it down for a week. And I don't know if it's going that way. I mean, the door is open. Marone said, you know, he'll make up his mind later this week. Maybe he'll announce something tomorrow. Maybe he'll work him out Sunday, see how he feels. But certainly the door is open, and Marone made it pretty clear today that it is his decision whether Spiller plays, as it should be, on Sunday. We want to know what your thoughts are. CJ Spiller, do you sit him this week? Do you play him this week? The phone lines are open, 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free, 1-888-552-550. You can always reach out to us and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. CJ Spiller, what do you do with him this week? Do you let him play, continue to play on that bad ankle that he's been struggling with and had a particular struggle against Miami last week? Or do you, take a week off, let him get a couple of weeks between games, bring him back for a conference game against Kansas City on November 3rd, and then have him presumably healthy for the rest of the season? Give us a call if you have thoughts on that. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. A call here from Mary Ellen in Alden, New York. Hi, Mary Ellen. You're on the air.
Happy Thursday.
Thank you.
The thing about CJ, yes, we understand, but it's an ankle. If Freddie takes one hit to that knee, that can put him out for the season. Then what do we do? And, as you know, CJ can go out the week later. And, you know, it's not an enormous drop-off with Deshard, but, you know, I worry at least equally about Fred's knee as I do about CJ's ankle. So I'm not sure about the rest. And you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a 50-50 dilemma.
Yeah.
And I'll hang up and listen to you, my friend.
Thanks, Maria. And you know what? It's a... You pose an interesting point, that 50-50 dilemma, Fred Jackson with his knee, C.J. Spiller with his ankle. They've been living that way for the last 3 games, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Miami. And in C.J.'s case, he has not rebounded well and did not look good against Miami last week. So it's almost like for the last 3 weeks, I think they were hoping that they'd use a little Fred, use a little CJ. They'd gradually get back. They'd take it easy during the practice week, gradually get him back up to full speed. It has not happened with CJ Spiller, which I think is one of the reasons why this is on the table. The other thing is they're different running backs, different styles. Spiller, with his explosion and with his speed, I think needs to have, you know, fully healed ankles in particular. And maybe Fred Jackson, with his style, more between the tackles, doesn't need that sort of, you know, doesn't need to be as close to 100% as C.J. Spiller might. Jared on his cell phone. Jared, do you have a thought on this?
How are you?
Good.
You kind of stole my thunder there for a second in regards to the injury, but I wanted to know if you have any, or any of you guys there have any inkling as far as what injury is harder to play with or harder to heal, either the knee injury on Fred or the ankle on CJ?
I don't have any insight into that. It's a good question. I mean, we can speculate. I mean, we're talking about degrees, too. You know, how bad is Fred's knee? How bad is CJ's ankle? We don't know that. We get pretty cursory and rudimentary explanations, you know. The injury report says C.J. Spiller ankle, limited practice or no practice. So I don't have that answer, but it's...
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, you may.
Is one of them practicing more than the other right now? Are they both at the same limited status, or is one practicing more?
Fred Jackson was limited today. C.J. Spiller has not practiced this week. So presumably Fred Jackson is healthier than Spiller.
Fred Jackson was limited today. C.J. Spiller has not practiced.
Okay, thanks, Jared. Yeah, I mean, that's where it stands. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It's an interesting question. Fred Jackson talked this week about the Saints for a little bit, and he agrees with the assertion that the New Orleans Saints are probably the best team the Bills have faced this year.
We just got to come out and play like we know we can. You know, they're a great team, you know, and they have been for a while. You know, and it's an extremely tough challenge to go down there and beat them, but it's one that we're looking forward to. You know, and the best way that we can do that is go out there and, you know, play consistent football. You know, if we do that, we feel like we'll give ourselves an opportunity to win a game. You know, they're going to make plays. We have to be able to weather the storm when we first start. You know, that crowd's going to be in it. That's going to be one of the things we have to deal with throughout the game. But we feel like if we go out there and we play consistently, you know, we will be all right.
In this league, you know, I know you don't pay attention to point spreads and all that, and nobody giving you a chance. All the national shows will say it's going to be the Saints are going to win this game going away. Do you guys relish that? Like, do you kind of like that, you know, little kick in the ass maybe that, yeah, no one thinks we can win, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. You know, you have to step up and be able to change minds, and the only way to do that is go down there and play a game that we feel like we're capable of playing. They're a great team for a reason. You know, they're coached well, they play well. You know, they got a great guy at quarterback, and anytime you got those three things, you know, working for you, it's going to be tough to win to beat a team like that. But we like what we have going on here, and the guys we have in this locker room. We feel like we can compete with anybody in this league. So yeah, we relish that being decided underdogs, but that's something, you know, it comes with part of the business. You know, we have to go down there and change people's minds by winning football games.
Fred, how do you feel? How do you feel? What are you dealing with, and what are you battling through from a pain and discomfort?
You know, that's just it. You know, I'm fine. You know, I'll be ready to go Sunday. You know, it's just one of those things they wanted to give me, you know, to day off, you know, just to kind of get some rest. But, you know, it's just going to be, you know, sore, you know, something that I dealt with, you know, all of last year, you know, being sore with the MCL and the LCL. So, you know, that's just part of it. I'll be all right. You know, they'll manage that. You know, we'll manage that doing rehab and stuff like that and see where it goes.
Fred Jackson, at the end, they're talking about his knee. He says he'll be fine. It does sound like, in answer to the earlier question, it does sound like Fred Jackson is further ahead in his recovery from the knee than CJ is with the ankle. And again, Fred Jackson with limited practice today, CJ Spiller with no practice. Hard to say, you know, which is more serious, an ankle or a knee in general. I mean, it depends on the severity of the injury. And I do think C.J. Spiller's ankles are probably more critical to his running style than Fred Jackson's knees might be. I mean, that sounded ridiculous as soon as it came out of my mouth. But because
I think
of the
it
way,
makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the way C.J. cuts and the way he needs to make sharp, decisive, quick cuts. It would be hard to
cuts,
do that.
Needs that flexibility in his ankle where Fred can just tape his knee up a whole bunch, put a brace on it, and still just power through.
Right. I mean, that's exactly what he's been doing. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Doug Marrone is making a return visit to New Orleans this weekend. The Buffalo Bills head coach played for the Saints in 1989. Actually was on the roster for sort of an infamous game in Buffalo Bills history here in Orchard Park in that 89 season. And he also coached the New Orleans Saints. He was their offensive coordinator from 2006 through 2008 under Sean Payton, still the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. We sat down with Doug Marrone just yesterday to talk about his history with the Saints, his history in New Orleans, and the aftermath of Katrina. And we'll hear that interview when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here until 9 o'clock tonight with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. So far tonight, we've heard from Thurman Thomas and from Hoki Gaijon, the color analyst on the New Orleans Saints radio network. No contact yet with Jabari Greer. Maybe we'll try it again tomorrow for the podcast. The former Bills cornerback, we reached out. We've been going back and forth with his people, and he had late meetings today, and maybe we'll do it tomorrow for the podcast. Love to talk to Jabari Greer, who really has found a home in New Orleans over the last four-plus years now as an outstanding corner for the Saints. Had that play. I mean, it's pretty maybe one of the most memorable plays of the first 7 weeks of the NFL season. The Kembrell Tompkins touchdown catch. Patriots beat the Saints two Sundays ago right over Jabari Greer. I don't know how he could have played that any better, by the way. And I watched it that day, and I watched it since then. I don't know how Jabari Greer could have played that any better. He is not the tall in stature, and the pass was high, and Tompkins went up and got it. Just an amazing play. What, 5 seconds to go in that game? But maybe we'll make some contact with Jabari Greer, get him on the podcast tomorrow. We'll see. Thanks for tuning in tonight. There's a lot going on, obviously, World Series games and Thursday night football and all that stuff going on, and you're running around and bringing the kids home from hockey practice or kickboxing or whatever that you do. And thanks for tuning in tonight and talking a little Bills football with us. We'll resume the conversation as soon as you're ready. What you'd like to do about C.J. Spiller this Sunday? Do you sit him or do you play him? Do you give him one extra week to let that ankle get better? Phone lines open 803-0550 or toll free 1-888-550-2550. When the Bills go to New Orleans this Sunday, it'll be a return to New Orleans for Buffalo head coach Doug Marrone. Two different stints with the Saints in his career. One as a player. Doug Marrone was signed by the Saints in 1989. He actually went to camp with them. Last week he was back in Miami where he played in 87. And then in 1989, he got picked up by New Orleans in training camp, got released by the Saints after camp at the beginning of the season. They brought him back during the course of the season, and he came back, was on the roster for just a game or two. Of course, then he went and coached the New Orleans Saints as the offensive coordinator for 3 years under Sean Payton. So going back to the Superdome, going back to New Orleans is significant for Bills head coach Doug Marrone. We sat down with him this week and talked about his New Orleans experience, and we started out talking about his time on the Saints roster. 1989 season, he was on the roster, did not play in a game. It's an infamous game in Buffalo Bills history. It was December 10th. Of 1989. The Bills were a pretty good team on their way to the playoffs. That was the bickering Bills year. But they faced the Saints at then Rich Stadium on a snowy December afternoon. And the Saints were down to their third quarterback, a guy named John Forcade. The Bills were slipping and sliding. I should ask Thurman about this game. The Bills were slipping and sliding around the field at Ralph Wilson at Rich Stadium then. John Forcade was carving them up. The Saints wound up winning the game 22-9. It was an upset. The Saints were not any good then. Forcade was a third-string quarterback who beat the Bills on that snowy December day here in Orchard Park. Doug Marrone was on the roster on the sidelines in that game. We sat down and talked with him just the other day about his New Orleans experience and started with the famous John Forcade game in December of 1989 at Orchard Park.
I was here for that. It was pretty amazing. What I remember from that game was, we had all the elements that day. You know, it was rain, it was sleet, it was snow, it was cold. Obviously, all the fans were here. And Steve Trapillo, who was the offensive guard, and Steve was a great player. He's passed away now. But I remember him taking his helmet, going over to the heater, and he put the helmet too close to the heater, and it just vaporized. And, he's scrambling around the sideline looking, for a helmet. So I just threw him my helmet, and he went right back in there. So, I remember that day well. That was a good win for us.
You went back to the Saints as offensive coordinator with Sean Payton in 2006. Did you have prior connection with Payton, or how did you go from Jets O-line coach to New Orleans?
Well, we had a lot of the same. We knew a lot of the same people, and we had met once before. Actually, we had met at a Dallas Stadium at a country music concert. It was Jimmy Buffett, Alan Jackson, and George Strait. So, you know, we had met there. He was with his wife, Coach Zimmer, who was the defensive coordinator now at Cincinnati, was his wife, and I was with my wife. And that was really the first time that we met. And then when the opportunity came available and he became the head coach, after my time with New York, then we started talking.
I read somebody said, I think it was one of your offensive linemen, said you basically had a ragtag offensive line that first year that was pretty successful.
Well, I don't know if I would say ragtag because I have so much appreciation for those guys. But, you know, we went in there and really changed a lot. Credit to, you know, Mr. Benson. He was there when I was a player. And his wife, Gail, is outstanding, from that leadership to Mickey Loomis, you know, then obviously Sean. And then the guys I was with. It's a special bond. Because of probably the situation more than anything else, you know, coming in post-Katrina. But, the guys that I coach down there, I think any one of us if coaches, when you're a position coach, you know, you do have a special relationship. And I have a special relationship with all of them that can't ever be taken away from us.
So I'm thinking about the timing here. You probably got hired January, February of 06, which is really 5 or 6 months after Katrina. What was the city like? What was the mood like down there when you got hired?
It was tough. I think that I've said it many times that the pictures and, the reports and the correspondence of what actually happened or what actually occurred really didn't do it any justice to how much damage was done. And the one thing that I thought when I went down, I couldn't believe it, you know, as far as, you know, what it caused, you know, in the city, you know, with everyone leaving. But the one thing that was, you know, so promising was just the resilient effort of the people in that region to make sure that they were going to come back. And I think, you know, I've said this before, that it's amazing when you think what the human spirit can do. And I think, you know, that motivated us, you know, as a group of coaches. And I think that, you know, from Mr. Benson to Sean, you know, and Mickey Loomis, that when we went down there, we got our hands dirty. So we didn't do, you know, what happens sometimes with community relations and public service. We didn't just take the pictures with the shovels and then get back on the bus and go. Yeah. You know, we were out there, you know, building houses and painting things. And, you know, people may call it team building, but it gave us a great feel, you know, for what was going on in that whole region.
The Saints on the field had a role to play in that recovery, right? And I think about that unbelievable Monday night game, the first home game since Katrina against Atlanta, an amazing game.
Well, you know, it's one of those special moments. I think, we went on the road, we went at Cleveland, at Green Bay, and won both of those games. And then we were coming home. And we were coming home to a place where I don't know if people can really put in perspective. You know, we remember the Superdome as being that safe haven for people. You know, where they, you know, they were staying at the Dome and all those nights, and they had to go through all that, you know, restructure for all the damage that was done to it. And then now all of a sudden you take it from an evac point, you know what I'm saying, during a major crisis. Now all of a sudden you're going to play a sports game in there. And I'll always remember, and I've said this before, you know, we're getting ready to play, and it was almost moments like the Super Bowl. I mean, U2 and Green Day were playing outside. We're in the locker room getting ready. The fans have been waiting for this. And it was almost like the start of, you know, here we are, we're back. Yeah. You know, New Orleans is back and this region is back. And I remember, and I don't normally do this, but right before kickoff, I remember looking back into the stands, and I remember in the first couple rows, people were crying. And I remember saying to myself, you know, this, it's amazing what this game can do and what we can do as an organization to really change the belief of coming back. And the fans had a lot to do with that too for us.
Bills head coach Doug Marrone, a portion of an interview we did with him just yesterday, and some interesting points there. And he really speaks, I think, quite passionately about what the Saints of 2006 meant to that city of New Orleans as they recovered from Katrina. We've got a video story. It's up right now at BuffaloBills.com, Bills Focus. Doug Marrone on returning to New Orleans, and we dug up some of the images of the devastation in New Orleans 8 years ago now, 2005. The Katrina devastation, and that game we talked about with Doug Marrone. It was a Monday night game, week 3, I believe, 2006 season, September 25th. The Saints came out and the crowd was just electric. Really, I think one of the most memorable Monday night games in recent history. And the Saints, I think, blocked a punt, scored a touchdown, and they were off and running and won easily against a pretty good Atlanta team. They went on, obviously, a couple of years later to the Super Bowl, riding the wave. Drew Brees' first game, Sean Payton's first game as head coach, Doug Marrone's first game as offensive coordinator. What a way to start. But interesting thoughts, I think, from Marrone about that. And when he talks about changing the belief of coming back and changing the fans' perception and helping the fans with that, it kind of reminded me of what Marrone talked about on the day he was hired here in Buffalo and what he's talked to his players about here, about a higher calling. It's about football here, and he is all football and very detail-oriented and, you know, on task. But I think he also has a sense, as he said, based on his experience in New Orleans. He told me, based on what he saw about Coach McPherson building a program at Syracuse when he was there, that football can, you know, mean more than just football, wins and losses to the fan base. I think that's what he – I get the sense that he's trying to get that going here, that he knows exactly how tough it's been for these fans here, 13 years without a playoff spot. He knows how passionate these fans are and knows that this team, this Bills team, can play a role in rekindling that energy and that enthusiasm, as it happened in New Orleans 8 years ago when he was there. Well, 2006, 7 years ago. So if you want to see more of that, including the images, our one-on-one interview with Doug Marrone on his return to New Orleans, we've got video of him playing for the Saints. We've got video of him coaching the Saints on there. We've got video of Katrina and that amazing game against New Orleans. It's up right now at BuffaloBills.com. Look for Bills Focus. We just put it up a little while ago. Pretty good video story on Doug Marrone returning to the New Orleans Saints to coach the Buffalo Bills against the Saints. It's clear that he has a very special place in his heart, at least his professional heart, for what went down there in New Orleans and you know, and how things played out, how that city bounced back after Katrina. And yet, when I asked him if he has any special thoughts, if he'll have any thoughts entering the Dome on Sunday, taking the field with the Bills, and he said, nope. Said, I'm going to block it out. He said, I'm going to be focused on the game and what we have to do to win and preparing our players. And I believe that as well, even though he talks about how much New Orleans and that franchise means to him. All right, we'll get your thoughts on that, this Sunday's game. It's our final opportunity to talk about the Bills and the Saints via telephone anyway, because tomorrow night we're on podcast. We'd also like your thoughts on C.J. Spiller. Do you play him? Do you sit him this coming Sunday? Do you give him the week off, hope to get him healthy for the final eight games of the year? Or do you keep alternating he and Fred Jackson trying to crank out a win against New Orleans? I think it's an interesting question. Let's hear what you say. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us on Twitter as well at John Murphy Show. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Couple of minutes left on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Tomorrow night, podcast. Hope to talk with Mark Kelso on the podcast tomorrow, get our Friday fix on what to look for, the Bills and the Saints. Like to hear from you over the next few minutes. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us and follow us on Twitter as well. So let us know what you think about C.J. Spiller in particular. Should they play him or should they sit him? KGB tweets in, dress him, but sit him on the bench unless he's forced into action. Okay, I don't know if dressing is... I don't know if that's an issue, but I'd, you know, make him sit on the bench unless he's forced in. I think what could happen, I don't know if it's likely to happen, if they decide that CJ's not ready, they'll obviously go into the game with Fred Jackson and Tashard Choice, 1-2 in some combination. And then probably, I would think, you know, they have Ronnie Wingo on the practice squad, a running back. You would think that Ronnie Wingo would probably be signed to the active roster to provide insurance so that they wouldn't have to press CJ into service if something goes wrong. But CJ talked today about his ankle injury, said he's feeling good, got out there, ran around. He says he has no problem with Coach Marrone. He said they're both on the same page. And he was asked a question that came up a little bit earlier on this hour about the nature of his ankle injury and his running style. And he says his running style really doesn't mix with the type of injury he has to his ankle.
And I think that's where, you know, me and Coach are on the same page. Is, you know, everybody understands is speed and quickness. That's 98% of my game. You know, and if I'm not able to go out there and, you know, make a guy miss, you know, with my quickness, you know, it kind of works in their favor. But, you know, to me, I think I can outrun a lot of guys with a bad ankle. But, you know, just the quickness and the cutting part is what the hurdle that I have to climb over.
With what you've been told for parents, I mean, do you think playing on it eventually, a couple weeks, whatever, you know, I mean, that eventually sometime this season you could be back to 100%, or do you think it will take maybe to the offseason, you know, you might be like 90, you know, the rest of the year or something like that, or, I mean, any?
I mean, from my communication, it seems like I should be back. It shouldn't be nothing that's going to linger the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a typical ankle sprain where, you know, once it heals up, it's pretty good. But, you know, who knows? Hopefully my plan is that it won't, you know, because, you know, we're still in the hunt, and, you know, I want to be a part of this team, you know, at 100%, you know, and trying to help us win games.
With the thought, though, that, you know, for one, you said Miami game was really the first time you felt it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you want to get back to 100%, do you understand, like, why maybe they would want to sit you down just to try and – because on any game day, it would set you back, you know, just in itself. So do you understand why that line of thinking?
I mean, I understand his thinking. I mean, Chris said, he's trying to – he got to do what's best for me. And then also what's best for the team. And what's best for the team is going out there and trying to get wins and putting, you know, the healthiest guys out there, you know. And, you know, and everybody understands, you know, I mean, you can see it on tape. You know, a big part of my game is, like I said, is my quickness and my speed. And I'm just not getting that explosion, that acceleration that I want. I mean, I'm able to run, but not like I'm capable of. So, you know, if we decide to rest it, you know, like I said, I'll just back the coach and we'll rest it. And that just give us more time to do more treatment and, come next week, we'll see how it feels.
Seems like it's moving in that direction, but there is still the Friday practice to come, so we'll see. We'll pick it up again, this dialogue tomorrow, hear what Coach Marone says after practice today. Spiller has yet to practice. By the way, the best part of those little comments he made that I liked, where is it? I think I can outrun a lot of guys with a bad ankle. I think he can too. But I'm sick of seeing him trying to outrun guys with a bad ankle. I think a week off might do him a world of good, and then come back for Kansas City with 8 games to play. Hopefully a healthy C.J. Spiller after that. He did not practice today. Neither did E.J. Manuel. Neither did Manny Lawson. According to Marone, Lawson suffered a bit of a setback yesterday, and his status will be determined tomorrow, but he has yet to practice this week. Full practice for Kyle Williams today, limited practice for Fred Jackson. On the Saints injury list, no practice for Jimmy Graham. That's significant. Their tight end, the number one target offensively for the New Orleans Saints, has yet to practice this week with a foot injury he suffered against the Patriots a couple of weeks ago. And we'll check on that tomorrow as soon as we can. And Cameron Jordan, limited practice today. The pass rushing defensive end didn't practice Wednesday, and limited practice for him today. So that bears watching as well going into this game. Got the podcast on tomorrow. Make sure you tune into that because of hockey. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer tonight, TJ Luckman, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back at it with the podcast. It'll be up tomorrow night at BuffaloBills.com. If you missed any portion of our show tonight, BuffaloBills.com, also the place to go. We'll see you tomorrow night. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.